It's that time, it's that place. Radio Backyard Fence is open and ready for confabulation as a chill wind blows across the fruited plains. Let this be your audio warming center because this is Chris Fabry Live. I'm Chris Fabry, we are live. And it's a Toxic Talk Tuesday with my toxic life coach and favorite Valentine, Andrea Fabry. We didn't get to talk at Valentine's Day. Light and life are in the offing today, so come on along and join the fun. We laugh, we cry, we make laundry detergent, we help rid pests the natural way, and it's all for your edification on another edition of Chris Fabry Live and a Toxic Talk Tuesday. Here's our number, 877-548-3675, 1-877-548-3675. You can go to chrisfabrylive.org and access our podcasts, past streams of programs, Toxic Talk Tuesdays, guest information, all kinds of things at chrisfabrylive.org. Nate McMillan is our producer today. Ryan McConaughey is engineering, trying to make me sound as good as he possibly can. Trish McMillan's our coordinating producer. Taylor G is answering your calls at the toll-free number today as we talk about light. Let's welcome her into the program without further ado. Former co-host of Midday Connection, former co-host of Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, voted as most likely to give a speech at the Oscars and mention glyphosate, queen of toxic talk because she has lived in a toxic relationship for much of her life, the one and only, I will miss you, Andrea Fabry.
I will miss you?
Yeah, that's a Glenn Campbell knock. I will miss you.
That, I'm not yes, gonna, they paid tribute.
His song was, I'm not going to miss you. I'm telling you, I will miss you. I don't care what happens.
I miss that. Thank you.
How are you, Andrea?
I'm good. How are you?
Great to talk
been?
With you. Yeah.
Good.
Good. And we're going to have a problem because you're over that. You got to stay right there.
Okay. I will. I was off mic there for a moment. I'm right back on, though.
You're doing great. We're going to talk about light today, but before we do that, we have to go back to a program we had last week when we had car counseling. If you didn't hear it, you can access that online. You appeared by phone, Andrea, and I have to say, you did not help me lament the passing of our...
Are we really going to go back? Actually, I'm glad because I forgot to mention one other problem with the Honda Odyssey, and I just kicked myself later because I listed the cracked windshield, the peeling leather, the window that doesn't roll down, the radio that doesn't work, and I forgot to mention that the door doesn't... One of the doors doesn't work, so thank you for bringing this back up. I feel redeemed.
I think you did mention the door, as a matter of fact.
And so, no, I wasn't lamenting, and you were, are you? How are you doing? Speaking as a counselor here, a car counselor, how are you doing with the grief process of this 2003 Odyssey?
It was an 03. It was.
281,000 miles.
I'm already speaking in the past tense here, Andrea.
Okay.
And,
that's
but you're
sign.
Right. You know, I think if we get on this, we're going to
stay
there.
We'll just stay there.
I have moved on, though. Even today, we had movement on, you know, what is going to happen next. So I'm hoping that's going to be good for our relationship. Because we're not the same in these.
No, I'd say we're different. When it comes to cars, and again, if you want to go down this road,
no, I don't,
so to speak.
I don't.
But I'm excited to talk about light. Of course, you know that. I've been studying it particularly for the last 2 months, so this is a subject near and dear to my heart. And I really didn't want to study this whole issue of lighting, artificial and natural lighting. I don't know. Engineering, electrical issues aren't my thing, but it came up in my building biology certification program, so mm-hmm. I was forced to because I do want to be and am almost officially certified in the field of building biology, but they do talk quite a bit about designing homes and buildings according to light. They talk a lot about artificial lighting and some of the hazards.
Okay, well, we're just rolling right into the topic then, aren't we? We're going to talk about light today. But some people might say, Andrea, you know, you help us make our laundry detergent. In the past, you've helped us rid our home of pests in the natural way. You know, we've gone through the dishwasher, all of these different things. Light, that doesn't seem to be the same thing, and to which you would say...
Well, we talk a lot on this program about natural living. So talking about natural light sources to me makes sense. And I think anyone who lives in the north this time of year knows what a deficit of light, just natural light, can do to the body and the mood and so forth. If you work in a dark building or spend a lot of time indoors under artificial lights, particularly fluorescent lights, you may have noticed that you don't feel as well. So, you know, in my mind, this fits right along with dishwashing detergent.
Well, I'm with you.
I see no difference.
I'm with you. Now I have the screen moved so I can see your wonderful face. And so the first topic that came up in my mind was when from 2009 until just a few months ago, yours truly, your beloved host, was in a lightless environment. I was in an office, a small office, that did not have a wind, that had no natural light whatsoever. So could that be the possibility of the reason why this program for the last few years
suffered? You know, well, it would be interesting to ask you, you know, since you've been have this large window now, do you notice a difference at all in maybe your energy, the way you feel about your work, anything like that? Not necessarily the program.
Yes, Andrea, and thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
I look forward. I look forward to coming upstairs. It's nice to come up and look out. I look forward to the sunshine and the way that the light changes in the morning. Because if usually I get here and it's dark, and then the sun rises and you see the different hues on the grass that's growing in the backyard. A little too
wild
high.
Wild grass.
And I would say, you know, there's nothing I can pinpoint, you know, because I didn't not get up and go into the windowless room. It's just there is a sense of a different mood almost.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And you didn't spend 24 hours a day in that, dark environment. Fortunately, we live in Arizona and you were able to have some balance. Yes. But I think that shows that this is a very real issue when it comes to our mood, let alone our health.
So seasonal seasonal
affective
disorder. Yes.
I think if you read the writings of Hippocrates, he noted this how many thousands of years ago. It's not new that sunlight affects mood. More recently, we've gotten more of a scientific basis about the light hitting the pineal gland and the hormones and so forth and the hypothalamus and all of that, that it's real. And sometimes when we feel depressed, we just make it about, you know, what am I not doing that I should be doing when there is a physiological relationship to your environment, all sorts of things. So I think it's good news to know that you're not crazy. That's always important to know when you're suffering some type of mood disorder. And as we've seen in our kids over the years, it's really important that they realize, no, I'm not. And one of the reasons we moved to Arizona at the time we were so terribly sick was to be outdoors. I just didn't know why.
Yeah. All right. So here's the number, 877-548-3675. Maybe you work in a windowless environment like I did. Is there any way, other than knocking a hole in the wall, is there any way to get natural light? What is the best light source? If you have a problem with fluorescent lights, I'm thinking people who work in big box stores, that kind of thing. Is there a way to work around this? I'd love to hear your response to this topic of light today, and we'll get into some of the medical benefits of light, of natural light as well, with Andrea Fabry on this edition of Chris Fabry Live. We'll take a break. Be right back right here on Moody Radio.
Join the conversation. Call Chris Fabry Live now at 877-LIVE-675, 877-548-3675.
And God said, let there be light. Have you thought about that, about the darkness filling the void? And God spoke, and it was. And then the juxtaposition of that and the Jesus who said, I am the light of the world. We're talking about light today on a Toxic Talk Tuesday with my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry. Here's the number, 877-548-3675. Your response to light and how you are affected by it. First of all, a personal note, not just of working in a windowless room. We had a daughter, one of our 9 children, who had jaundice very early on her skin.
Newborn jaundice condition. And this just shows you how much we do know about light. in our culture today, but how much we're just not aware how much we know. But what is the treatment for jaundice? Any mom who's had a baby with jaundice knows it's to put them in the sun as much as possible, at least by a window in the sun. And they found that blue light particularly will help. Because bilirubin gets stopped up, the liver isn't developed, and that chemical gets dissolved by those that full spectrum light, particularly the blue light. So again, not a big surprise. And then you go back to God saying, you know, let there be light.
I still remember the doctor looking at you because you were very concerned. You said, well, she has, and he had a kind of a Middle Eastern accent. I can't do it, but she has jaundice. She has jaundice. Well, what do we do?
Put her in the light.
Sun.
Just put her in the sunlight. Yes, over by the window. And it didn't have to be that much. You don't want to get her sunburned.
No, but you don't get sunburned, fortunately, by the window. It shows that even having windows in a room does help. And we'll talk, I'm sure, later about full spectrum light and the advantage of natural light with no filter at all. But good news about windows, you know, nice size windows, they can do a lot.
But we've gone for so long saying, put on sunscreen, wear your sunglasses. The sunlight is going to harm you. You're going to get skin cancer. You're going to...
And all that's true. You don't want to burn. And I've learned the difference between being afraid of the sun and respecting the sun. And there's a huge difference. And I do think we have a lot of fear. And the good news is that just being in the shade in natural light without any type of filtration, and this includes contact lenses, glasses, and sunglasses. And I just learned recently, you know, I stopped wearing my glasses about 5 years ago and was shocked how well I did, even driving, but I keep them on hand to drive at night. And I'm not saying I'll never have glasses. The point is, I intuitively felt better without them because most of what I did in the day, I didn't require them. So I just tried living without them. I also noticed that I could read more and no longer needed reading glasses. That's a personal note, not necessarily a medical one. But the medical part of this really came to light, so to speak, for me when I studied the life of John Ott. And he really is a pioneer in this field of full spectrum light therapy and so forth. And it came out of his own journey. Now, John Ott lived to be 91. He died in 2000. But his career started as a photobiologist and developing the field of time-lapse photography. And Walt Disney used him a lot in what he did. And he ended up with a weekly television show. And he was very busy, a lot of indoor time, did a lot of his work in the cellar. And he developed arthritis. And again, I'm sharing his story, and you can read about him in a number of sources. But I found this so interesting, and so I share it with the listeners, thinking they will too. But he walked with a cane, and he inadvertently broke his eyeglasses and found that he spent some time outdoors that day working in a garden. He lived in Illinois at the time. And he noticed that his arthritis felt better. And he went into his wife. Now, he's pretty well on his career with the time-lapse photography, doing quite well. And he said, you know, we need to go to Florida like this week because I want to try out something that I want to know if this is true or not true. They got on a plane. They went to Florida. He spent the next 6 to 7 days basically on the beach. He said it was a cold time of year. He was bundled up, but he didn't wear any eyeglasses, no sunglasses, sat in the shade, read, spent a lot of time outdoors. And before he knew it, he was playing golf without a cane. So he devoted the rest of his life to the study of full spectrum light and natural light and what it can offer. And he addresses so well the balance, because it's true. You don't want to just treat the sun like it can't hurt you. It can.
Oh, yeah. All right. So let's get our listeners involved here, because a lot of people are catching on to the light thing. 877-548-3675. Hannah is in Minnesota. Go right ahead, Hannah.
Hi, Chris. I just wanted to say that, you know, we just here up north notice a huge difference in our energy levels through the winter. And once it hits about February, even though it's still below zero outside, my husband and I, we have a organic vegetable farm, so we start seeds in the greenhouse in February, and it's like light therapy to be out here all day with our kids. And I don't know if that would count as natural light
coming
through. plastic or what?
It does. And I'm curious about Minnesota because it is so cold. How many, you know, is it sunny in February? Do you get a lot of sunshine even though it's super cold?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's sunny till about 6:30 in the evening. And then because it is so cold, often it's like the coldest days are the sunniest days, you know, and when it's 30, it's cloudy. So you almost kind of would rather it be 10 degrees and sunny, at least I
right.
would. You're not going to
yes.
really be outside much anyway, but it's the sun that makes all the difference.
It really does. And of course, and that's great to hear for others who are in the northern climates. And I can attest to the fact a lot of John Ott's research later on was in these colder climates, and simply 15 minutes a day bundled up outside is beneficial. You do that several times a day. Of course, what you're saying is we have a reason to go out. We're engaged in what we're doing. We can't wait for the spring and the summer for this garden. So that's even, you know, more incentive to get out there. But the good news is it can be cloudy, and that is natural light. And so thanks for calling, Hannah. That's very encouraging.
Let's go to Tampa. You mentioned Florida. Andrea's in Tampa. Hi, go right ahead, Andrea.
Hi, my name's Andrea.
Andrea.
And I actually get migraines and have a really hard time with artificial light. And I'm wondering, do you know if will sunglasses help inside? I met someone who wears transition lenses because she, like me, is very sensitive to the fluorescent lighting. And also, we're going to be building a new home in a couple of months here. And I'm wondering, what kind of lighting should I be using in my home? Because I've noticed that energy efficient lighting really depresses me, and I don't feel right about it.
Well, there you go. So, you know, the good news, do you have a say yet on even the direction of the house and where the windows go and where the front door faces and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Great. You know, you want to embrace... I think it was Florence Nightingale, we can go into Florence Nightingale because she learned this, and this was a big part of the legacy she left, actually, was that one window for two beds is what she, you know, advocated for, and the critical nature of architecture being part of health. Sometimes we're not even thinking of health, whereas you already are, and it's south-facing as much south-facing as you can get. North-facing can be a little more difficult. But the good news is there's always hope no matter how it's facing. But if you have a decision to make about windows, the more natural light you let in, the better. And whatever room you're going to spend a lot of time in, like the kitchen, you know, for me, this house has a big window in the kitchen and the other house didn't. Huge difference in the way I feel during the
day.
Even
the laundry room
has a window.
That was one of the things that kind of excited you. Is like, I can actually look outside
while
in the laundry.
Exactly.
Of course, I do most of the laundry, so we, you know.
But Andrea, here's the thing about the artificial lighting. You just nailed it. And now, here's what we do. We go with the old-fashioned incandescent bulbs. And I know they're being phased out. But for now, they've worked for years. I don't rely too much on them. You can always go to candlelight and so forth for you. But there are also full-spectrum fluorescent lights that a lot of people do better. And I'm just more old-fashioned. The less artificial light, the better. The more I'm outside, the better. But there are technologically a lot of options for you. And so I would just keep on asking this question. There are LED lights that filter out the blue light for the bedroom. One thing I would say, since you're being able to make this call ahead of time, is no dimmer switches, and that's more of an EMF, electromagnetic radiation issue. They just carry a lot of electric energy and can be, shall we say, weakening on the body. And that's a whole nother topic. But since I have you, I thought I'd mention that.
For the electricians, though, who really like putting
the dimmer,
in
I know.
The dimmer. There's a lot of people who love to do the dimmer thing.
Right. And again, these are small things, but small things add up. And you're saying, I don't do well under artificial light. So I would design that home to the best of my ability to incorporate as much. And this is going to be in Florida, I assume. Is Andrea still there?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
yes.
she is. There she
okay,
is.
Okay, so it's Florida, right?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So, you know, I just do stay away from the traditional CFL bulbs, which I think was what you were saying, right?
The traditional CFL or the, like the old fashioned ones that I grew up with in the 80s. I love those personally.
The incandescent.
The incandescent. Yes. Yeah. That's okay. What, and that's where overhead light, less overhead is better as well. Because as we transition, and think about how the sun goes, it starts to our side, it goes over and then back to our side. And that's why at night, particularly, I like side lighting, just one little lamp next to me rather than a lot of overhead lighting, which doesn't feel natural, I think, to any of us. So the more you go with the sun, the better off. I think you're right on track.
Can we sing This Little Light of Mine before we close?
You can.
Okay, Andrea, thank you for your call today. Light is our subject on this Toxic Talk Tuesday, and Steve is in Peoria, Illinois. Hello there, Steve. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I can empathize with a person living in Minnesota. My wife had seasonal affective disorder, and we had to install special lights in the kitchen, and then almost had a mandated vacation once a year to Arizona. So that was kind of our way around that. I wondered if you could make a comment. My question was more of LED lights are coming into more use these days, and there are full spectrum or daylight bulbs in your classes and stuff. Do they talk about that providing any reasonable benefits? Because it costs like a third more than their traditional cool white or whatever.
Okay, yes, in my class, in the curriculum, LED is recommended over the fluorescent lighting. And certainly full-spectrum LED is a good thing for the daytime. Now they have blue filtering LEDs for night. I think those are all great. And lots of options out there. And if I can't get to an incandescent bulb, I would probably choose an LED. But again, I try to just embrace what God has given us in a sense, and that is waking up when the sun rises and going to bed not long after it sets. Not everybody can do that, and shift workers, they have to create their own version of this in order to keep working.
That's what Shonda emailed and said, what about graveyard shifters and their flipped lighting schedule? Is there what can they do?
Well, you know, this is where some of the lighting science came from. Was for the astronauts. They tried to give them this circadian rhythm when they're in space. And the good news is, with knowledge, there's a lot you can do. If that's what you need to do, then that's where the room darkening shades and window treatments are helpful. You try and get the full spectrum lights for your daytime, and then some of the filtered orange light bulbs. There are, I think Andrea mentioned those transitional glasses. These are great for e-readers and so forth, getting a little off topic. But those ones, the orange glasses, you can put on to filter out the blue light. Because at night, your night for a shift worker, whatever your night is, you don't want the blue light tricking your brain. You want the brain to kind of gradually go to sleep. So I guess what I'm saying is there are a lot of options out there for you. And I would, just like anything else, we kind of have to work hard sometimes at our health.
Yeah. Steve, thanks for your call, and come on out to Arizona. It's there's a lot of room out here.
Beautiful.
Brenda, I believe, is in Alabama. Hey, Brenda, can you hear us and give us your question or comment?
Yes, sir, I can. And thank you for taking my call. I have an issue with, I have lupus, and so I'm not supposed to be out in the sunlight a lot. Yet my home is very dark, and you've answered some of my questions already, and so you may have already answered mine here, but I have lupus and a vitamin D deficiency because of not having a lot of sun.
Right.
And my house, I have to have a light on all day, even though the house has a light. It's not enough to do, you know, your housework, see how to read, things like that. And the winter months are shorter. I do better in the summer months when the days are longer. But I do notice that the lack of light affects my moods and how I feel. And so I'm just going to want to know if there's some kind of light that I can get that, I've seen where people sit under lights, different lights and things. There's something that you can get to increase your light without having the ultraviolet rays and things.
Well, this is tough because it almost seems like your body doesn't like the sun, and there's good reason for that.
You have to listen to that.
So my from the research I've done, particularly for lupus, the good news is that shade and your body completely covered, accessing at least your eyes to some of the natural light in the day, even if it's 15 minutes with a visor and so forth, can be very beneficial to the body. I'm not speaking medically to lupus per se. Have you tried that? I mean, how do you do when you just sit in the shade and kind of take in God's beauty outside without being directly in the sun?
Well, that is good, and I try to do that, but I find that in the winter months, when you're more housebound and you have more artificial light all day and the day's been shorter, it kind of gets depressed.
You know what, Brenda, hang on. I want to take your talk with you in the break. Andrea Fabry is with us today, my toxic life coach. We're talking about light. 877-548-3675. Sing. There you go. Thank you. Great idea. This little light. We're talking about light today. God made it. And we try to block it out a lot of times because, well, it too much can be bad. But what about that natural light? Andrea's talking about that today on our Toxic Talk Tuesday. We were just talking with Brenda as we ended with her. We said, go to your, you know, we've suggested this thing about getting some natural light if you can. Go to your doctor. Ask him or her. What does he or she think about this? Because she said she just gets blue.
Depressed,
you know?
Yeah. And the good news, the takeaway for her as well as anyone else listening is that there's not a lot of negative to say about bundling up and standing in the shade for 15 minutes, even if it's really cold. And I feel for some of these colder climates. I know that this morning it was very cold in Arizona. You know, I've got my blanket.
Comparatively.
I went outside. Yeah, and I know, poor me. I don't feel sorry for me. But it was colder and I just, you know, but I have noticed such a difference in the way that I sleep, the more outdoor time I get. And the way our culture and our lives have gone is to keep this kind of climate controlled, stay indoors lifestyle, no matter what the season. We can go all year, 12 months a year with kind of the same schedule because of all the technology. And I'm very drawn to technology because it's a big part of what I do. I love what I do. But I had to make this concerted effort, this intention to just get outside for a little bits of the time. Living in Arizona, I'm sorry to say that, but what a difference in the way that I sleep.
And it is different. You lived in Chicago for many years, and between, you know, 1 month and six others, it's dark. It's very, you know, lots of cloud cover, and it's just kind of gray. But even with that, there's sunlight getting through there. Now, why did you ask me? Over the weekend, we were doing some yard work, and you said, hey, why don't you leave your glasses in here for just 15 minutes while you do this thing?
Yeah.
And, well,
I said, could I be your toxic life coach for a minute? And you did. You said, okay. And then he, you know, struggled with recognizing me after that. It was a big adjustment.
I called her one of our kids and then the dog.
The reason is after, you know, my experience of learning that I don't have to have perfect vision at all times and all moments, and I'm not suggesting that anyone compromise safety here, but the value of just getting all the filters, because contact lenses and glasses offer a certain filtration from the full spectrum light. That's true. They let in a lot of light. So, but I just made that suggestion to see what that would feel like being outside without them. And initially, some people try this. Now, you're not used to sunglasses, but some who are used to sunglasses feel a certain light sensitivity just going out without them, and you kind of have to work up slowly. But you didn't have that.
No.
How did it feel?
No, it's just everything's blurry.
Yeah.
Everything's. But I like not wearing glasses to read because I don't really need them for that. And there was this sense of freedom. I'm not sure that my mood changed or anything in that amount of
it's
time. I'm just wondering.
Sometimes.
But you're saying that these that I'm wearing here will filter some of the natural light that comes through,
yes.
And some not. Okay.
Yeah.
Just to try out
some outdoor time without them, if it's safe and if you feel comfortable.
Can you tell me when my outdoor time comes? It's your outdoor time. Tanya is in Juneau, Alaska. Hi, Tanya. Go right ahead.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hi. As you can imagine, it gets fairly dark here, and I also work shift work, and I work in a shared workspace with a number of folks who prefer a much darker room. I tend to get pretty severe eye strain from the dim room, and we're at computers for 12 hours at a time. So I'm wondering if you have a suggestion for some type of workspace-specific light that could allow me to have the light that my eyes need without imposing that on others who need a dimmer light space. The
yep.
employer has explored it, but it's cost prohibitive from a building
right.
standpoint.
Well, I think there's a lot of hope for this. This is where technology sometimes works against us and sometimes it works for us, like anything else. And in this case, I think it works for you. I know that John Ott, and it's still going, his lighting inventions over the years, you can still find Ott lamps and other ones like it. Where they are, I think they're LED, they might be fluorescent full spectrum lights that are desk lights that I think you'd like. I have one. I have it's an LED full spectrum side, right to my side. I don't need that. I was just kind of in my research trying things out. I would prefer a less bright light as it gets to nighttime near my bed. But for during the day, if you're in a dark environment, I would try that and see how you respond to it. And just look online.
Yeah. Type in what? Full spectrum light.
Desk lamp.
Desk lamp.
Mm-hmm. What does that sound like? How does that sound?
It sounds good. We did have an Ott light years ago that we tried that didn't reach a high enough height from the desk that it was a low enough height that it tended to create a bit of glare.
Yes.
It's been on my mind to look for another ally.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you could like pull up a bookshelf next to, I don't know how much room you have, but some way to raise it high enough for you. Because
or hire somebody to hold it. That's
hang
what
it from the
do.
Ceiling. With these types of issues where you're fighting the natural light system that we have, you have to go above and beyond sometimes to make it work for you. But I think you were on the right track. And I can imagine if it's too low, that's not going to help you.
Yeah. And if I were the employer and I had someone saying, I get eye strain from this, I would want to facilitate, I want them to want to come to work and have this environment. But at the same time, you've got to be respectful of the people who are there working alongside you. The other question is there another office that you could work in that, that would allow where other people are grouped who are of like mind? You could ask that question as well.
Well, and also strikes me when you're on this, when you're in a job situation that's fighting this, but it's something you need to do is you offset it by, what you do outside of work, really be aggressive with your own health and exercising and getting outdoors when you can and, what you eat and drink and those sorts of things, that can go a long way to making that 8-hour period, more bearable.
I'm glad you got through, Tanya. Thank you for calling. Karen in Tampa, Florida. Hello there, Karen.
Hi. Hi.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I had mercury toxicity a few years ago from my amalgams and also struggle with psoriasis, which is also an autoimmune disease. But I am so sensitive and allergic to the fluorescent lights that I will get almost sunburned from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't spend a lot of time under them. What I've done is my husband told me to go to the store before they removed the incandescent bulbs off the shelf, told me to buy some, and I came home with 400 bulbs. Well, so that's going to last me a lifetime. So that's what I use in my home is the old-timey incandescent bulbs.
Well, there you go. See, you're like the canary in the coal mine, you know, that told miners if the air was compromised, if they weakened, you know, said a lot. So, you know, the fact that you have this experience in fluorescent lights kind of tells us all there must be something stressful on the body about those. And the fact that you find incandescent better, I think, goes a long way, too.
Yeah. And the question about the mercury that's in the fluorescent, the...
Well, that's the other, you know, I mean, that's... They're hazardous if they break. And for the most part, you know, they're pretty well shielded and so forth with the mercury. A lot of arguments in favor of that because it's the process of fluorescent lighting that's so much more energy efficient. And we have gone on efficiency and cost rather than our health. And because incandescent, you know, don't last as long and so forth.
Well, here's the other thing, Andrea. Let me throw this in. There are a lot of people who do fine with fluorescent lights.
Right.
You know, they're under them and they look at people who have problems with them as kind of weird and crazy. And what are you talking about now? When to them, those people, it's a very real thing. Like I walk into the store and I experience it, walk into the store and I immediately start to squint, you know?
You do?
I do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like anything else. I remember when we first became chemically sensitive, the whole family did after we left our toxic home. And then everything just was so stressful on the body. And I would have thought people like us were crazy. And I couldn't walk down a chemical aisle and people couldn't get that either. And I understand. I've been on both sides. When your body's okay, you're doing okay.
A chemical aisle, you mean like where the candles and the...
Candles, any kind of fragrance plug-ins, the cleaning aisle, the laundry aisle, you name it. Any chemical, especially plug-ins, are really tough for those who are chemically sensitive, which in my mind says they're really not good for anybody. And ideally, you know, 24/7 while you're sleeping part of that time of fluorescent lighting, when you know, take note, be grateful that your body is in a stronger place and just take note and be proactive with your health. But, you know, as best as you can, I wouldn't cast dispersion on those who struggle. Our bodies are all operating on unique histories and unique systems. What works for one doesn't necessarily work for another. It's we try and make one size fits all, and it isn't the case.
So many different threads going through here. You says as best as you can.
You're talking
about asbestos here on the program. Let's keep it on light, though. Andrea Fabry, we'll take our break. We'll come back with a question about computers and more right here on Chris Fabry Live, a Toxic Talk Tuesday.
Call 877-LIVE-675 to reach Chris Fabry Live. That's 877-LIVE-675.
I am just always amazed at the many varied topics that my toxic light coach comes up with. Today we're talking about light. How are we going to go a whole hour and talk about light? Well, there's a lot of people who, this is a big deal, especially this time of year. And let's continue with a great question from Wendy in Florida. Hi, Wendy. Go right ahead.
Hi. How you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
Good. I called in because I live in Del Rico, and I have a home that has lots of windows, but I spend a lot of time on a computer that's in, well, I call it the computer hallway. It's just a large hallway with no windows, no light whatsoever. And I don't know what made me decide to do this, but I thought maybe a solar tube would help. And I waited for years, I don't know why, maybe 9 years to put this into my house. The best thing I ever did, I mean, it brings in the sunshine. Sometimes I think somebody left the light on and I try to turn it off, but it makes it so much brighter in there and I don't have to have all the lights on all the time now.
So it's like a skylight?
What is a solar tube? Yeah, is it a skylight?
It's a solar tube. It comes, it's not a skylight. You can't really see out of it. It just brings sunshine down through this tube into this room, like
no tomorrow. I mean, it's the best
thing. That's good to know. That's great. Yeah, and so yeah, you've noticed a difference. How would you describe the difference?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel that I don't feel like I'm living in a closet, you know? It just makes me feel better to be in the light.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm really glad you called. It's interesting because we had an environmental radiation inspection of our home, which is a very foreign thing to do, from someone who has studied this for many, many years, came out of his own health experience in crisis. But as he looked at our current home, and I was doing this partly for research and partly to learn and partly for our health as a family. One of the first things he said was, you need to move your desk to me. Because I had it in a corner. And
you had a stand-up desk.
I do have a stand-up desk, which is a whole other program. I do love that. It's not for everyone.
You did that. We talked about that last time.
That's true. Well, yeah. Not a whole program like we did light.
Okay. Yeah,
but nonetheless, it was one of the first things that he suggested, and I am so glad. And of course, the solar too was a great thing for you. My first thought was, did you end up moving your desk? And probably wasn't practical for you. For me, it was easy. It's on wheels. I just hadn't thought of it.
To move it near a window.
Window where you have a view. And a simple thing like that made a huge difference.
All right, Wendy, thanks for you. That's the first time I've ever heard solar tube. I probably have seen them, though, before. Angela is in Tennessee. Hi, Angela.
Well, hello.
Hi, Angela.
I haven't ever heard of a solar tube.
Me neither.
That sounded interesting to me, too. Mm-hmm. What I had called about was my daddy has psoriatic arthritis. Mm. And one of the things through the years, because he's had it for many years, and through the years, the doctors have told him when it starts flaring up really bad, you need to take a trip to Florida and get out in the sun, because where his, you know, it's in his joints, and where that is, he has psoriasis around the joints, and sometimes it gets really bad, and of course, inflammation also because of the being arthritis. But when he goes to Florida in the sunlight, and that's what he needs, is that sun, it causes that psoriasis to go away.
Mm. And where does he live?
It heals it.
Yeah.
We live in Tennessee.
Hmm. So is there much, I don't know the Tennessee climate. Is there sunlight even during the winter, or is it a lot of clouds?
There is. We do have sun, but I mean, it's just that intense, you know, being out and getting to sit, because you don't do a lot of that when you're, especially when he was working. You know, he would have a whole week to sit out in the sun, but when he worked shift work, and so he slept a lot. You know, he worked the kind where you did 7 days of midnight, 7 days of seconds, and then 7 days of days. You know, so he had
that is hard on the body, isn't it?
It really is.
I am so glad our medical community does have a lot to say about this, the value of natural light. We may not put it in those terms, but there you have it. You know, it's really helped him, and I'm so glad for him.
So you're talking about mood. You're talking about your health.
Sleep is a big, is a big thing with light, and that's what some of these blue filtering lights can do. And how much time do we have?
We got 4 minutes.
Okay. Can we talk about e-readers and going to sleep with an
please.
E-reader?
You're going to kick yourself if you don't.
Okay, I will. I don't use an e-reader at night anymore intentionally. I am, because it makes so much sense to me that it is disrupting our going to sleep process. Now, some people go to sleep fine with or without. That's just them. For me, not me. And I wasn't making that connection. I wasn't even making the connection between getting lots of outdoor light. But the reason is they do emit the blue light. So in a sense, it's tricking the brain and saying, hey, it's daytime, wake up. And then we stop our e-reader and then we're awake and we're, you know, tossing and turning. So for some people, that can be one of the easiest things to do to get yourself to transition to sleep, and one of the biggest hindrances because of that blue light. Now, one of the options is, if that's all you have to read and you really like that, are the glasses I talked about. They're orange and they filter out the blue light. So if you're okay with that, and then wear those. And some people who don't use e-readers, they just put those on at night with the artificial lights in their house, and they say that they go to sleep faster simply because, again, artificial lighting is not optimal in the sense of helping us go to sleep.
Well, wasn't that what Abraham Lincoln wore when he was going to sleep, was the orange glasses?
Because he had an e-reader?
You've heard, well, I don't think... The story about him is he'd read in bed by candlelight.
Right.
Is that a bad thing for his...
No, I was trying to... waiting for the punchline. Less is more in terms of light at night where you're not straining. It's a hard balance to find.
So. Okay, so for the person, though, who says, I got to check my email before I go to bed. Go check my email. You get on that screen, and you're saying that could disrupt...
Just watch it for a while. One thing we've noticed is more outdoor times is improvement in diabetes management with our son with type 1. It's pretty striking, and the less technology and the less artificial light at night for him is helpful to his blood sugar. So I don't think we're even aware of the health benefits of what really God has given us, you know, when he said, let there be light.
Yes. And then the light and the photosynthesis and the grass and the natural grass and the cows who eat the natural grass and those, you know, it all fits together here. This is not just isolated things. And I think that's really what you're saying.
That is. And thank you for allowing me to
And Abraham
be here.
Lincoln. Danielle, sorry we didn't get to your call about migraines in the winter and not in the summer. I would imagine
that there's at least a correlation.
Connection,
you know,
there
inflammation and just too much artificial light is weakening, can be weakening.
What about eczema and
well,
light?
Moisture is big, and natural light can. There's some interesting things about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can't cover light in a whole hour. I don't know. Think we can?
We can't cover light in a whole hour. This has been Chris Fabry Live. Andrea, you come on back next month.
I would love to.
And let's talk in March at some point, and we'll deal with another topic like this.
Great.
Thanks for being here. And if you want to find out more about her, you can go to chrisfabrylive.org. chrisfabrylive.org. Come on back next time for another conversation at the Radio Backyard Fence. Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio in Chicago.